Welcome to She Talks Tech, the brand new podcast from We Are Tech Women.
If there are problems that you can't solve, find experts and bring them in and get them to help you to do that. So if you want to sort out your culture, first of all, find people that can do that with you. You kind of need it from a top down, but you also need it from a bottom up aspect as well. So you need to create that environment where everyone feels included, that their opinion is valued.
I'm Vanessa Vallalioboe, founder of We Are The City and We Are Tech Women. As an individual that's been a technologist, both in the corporate space and as an entrepreneur, I know how tough it can be to rise to the top of our profession. She is a role model. She is incredible. She is my all-time hero. It gives me great pleasure to introduce this conversation with the amazing Professor Sue Black, award-winning computer scientist, digital skills expert, tech evangelist, author, global speaker, I could go on. Sue's backstory is incredible. Leaving home at 16, married at 20, and had to flee her own home due to domestic abuse with three children by the age of 23. Despite these challenges, Sue enrolled to get her degree in tech, and the rest, they say, is history. Amongst Sue's many achievements was she set up the UK's first Women in Tech network at BCS. She then went on to set up Tech Mums to get more mums into tech. Sue also led an incredible campaign to save Bletchley Park, the original home of coders during World War II. And she even wrote a book about that experience. Sue is now a professor at Durham University, where she recently ran an amazing program called Tech Up Women to get more underrepresented women into tech. Prior to lockdown, Sue's normally traveling across the world, spreading her message, if she can do it, so can you. In this session, we talk about all sorts of things, but in particular, Sue's background, her career, mentoring, plus her most recent passion, Tech Up Women. Sue, fantastic to have you on this hot day. How are you doing?
Kind of a bit sweaty.
So fantastic to have you on. So we're just going to have a bit of a chat about things that you've created. We're going to look at your career story. We're going to look at your life story. But first of all, do you want to give us a bit of context? Tell us a little bit about you before we get started.
So I'm a professor of computer science at Durham University. A bit about my background. I left home and school at 16, went back into education when I was 26, so like 10 years later. And by that time, I got married, had three children, ended up in a women's refuge for 6 months, and then was kind of starting my life again on a council estate in Brixton. Wanted to go back to work, but realised that I wouldn't even be able to pay for childcare with three small children, so I couldn't go back to work. Decided to go back into education, did a maths course at a local college, did a computing degree at South Bank Uni in London, stayed on, did a PhD, became an academic during that, and I've done various things that I think we're going to talk about after that too. And so I've mainly been an academic for the last, 25 years now.
Fantastic. So one of the first things, when I first come across you, is back in the days of BCS Women, who we've got in the exhibition hall, actually. So you set up the first Women in Tech network, really. Tell us a little bit about that.
So I set up BCS Women in the first group in 1998 because as a PhD student in computer science, I was going to conferences trying to network and finding it extremely difficult as a kind of young woman. I think lots of men seem to get the wrong idea about why I was talking to them at computer science conferences when I was trying to chat about my research. So I had some not so great experiences. Then went to a Women in Science conference in Brussels in 1998. And had such a different experience. You know, I was quite shy and I thought I was just rubbish at networking. But going to a Women in Science conference where it was like 98% women was like a massive party. I mean, you know, we all know that now because there's lots of women in tech conferences around. But back then, there weren't any that I knew of. I just had such a great time. So I thought I've got to try and create an environment so that, you know, all women in tech can get together and chat to each other about what it's like to be a woman in tech, but, you know, also technical stuff, all sorts of things. So I came back and set up the sort of the London BCS Women Group in 1998. And that was so successful that in, I think, 2001, we set up a nationwide BCS Women Group. And, well, there's lots of BCS women in the audience today, so still going strong now, which is wonderful.
So really, you were the pioneer of women's networks because what we started in 2008, so you was long before us. But even now, Sue, you know, there's only what we know about 48 women in tech networks that exist. Okay. Across the UK. Obviously, we're updating that library of networks all the time, but it's still not enough, right? We're still only seeing 17% of women in tech. But when you think we've been on that journey for that long, you know, it's a bit of a shocker.
Absolutely. I mean, it's ridiculous, utterly ridiculous. And if I'd kind of known 22 years ago, that we'd still kind of be at around 17%, which is exactly what it was then. I don't know. I maybe would have been a bit more radical in what I've done over the last 25 years. I don't know. You know, the numbers are the same in terms of percentages, but I think the whole atmosphere has changed so much, you know. And like back then, having, for example, Women in Tech Awards, I just had so many arguments with people about, you know, like, we shouldn't give women special treatment is what they were saying. You know, when I was saying, why can't we champion women in technology? You know, it's not special treatment. I've had loads of those arguments over the years, and things are getting better, right? Because we've got, you know, so many great conferences, so many great networks. We've got so many women, you know, kind of out there, particularly on social media, talking about what they're doing, championing women in tech. So the whole atmosphere has completely changed. And I kind of feel like we're getting towards, hopefully, some kind of tipping point where things really are going to change. But it's, you know, in some ways it's a bit depressing that it's the same as it was 22 years ago.
But we're on that journey. I mean, I remember when we set up wearetechwomen.com as the platform for kind of women to access these resources. If we'd have gone back 10 years ago, that would have taken me, I would have had a few pages. We literally built that website in 3 days with all the information about what everyone was doing, different campaigns, you know, different networks, different events. I agree with you. It's definitely changed. But now we need to see the tangible impact of some of that in terms of more senior women in positions.
Yeah, absolutely.
We went on from BCS Women, because you're like the setup queen, right? You know, problem, and you get straight in there and, you know, you set something up and you create impact, which is what I love about you. So next up, Tech Mums. Talk to me about Tech Mums.
So I'd been in academia for a while, and I'd really realised that kind of technology and education just massively changed my life. You know, we were living in poverty back in the day, and I was struggling to pay the rent, for example, you know, getting taken to court by the council for not paying rent. And I kind of managed to get myself out of that situation and into an environment where I was earning some money, and, you know, and then gradually kind of built on that to when I was earning enough money to pay the bills. And all that kind of stuff really kind of has stayed with me, in that that's dramatically changed my life and what my life is like. But it's also changed my children's lives. And that, you know, now I've got 4 kids and I've now got 5 grandchildren. So it's going to impact on their lives as well. So the decisions that I made back then are having sort of positive impact down the generations. And so a few years ago, I just thought, well, you know, tech and education have massively changed my life, and I can see the real impact of that. I want to try and do something to help everyone realise the benefits of technology. And so I kind of started off thinking, how do I get everyone upskilled and kind of like digital skills and understanding? Tried that for a bit, but kind of realised that I couldn't just work with everybody as one person. It just wasn't going to work. And so started running coding and app design workshops for kids, for 7-year-old kids. So my youngest daughter was 7 at the time, so like with her whole year group in the school. And at the end of the day, I got the parents to come in and have a go at what the kids have been doing, because I just thought, if the kids are going to go home, that, you know, you want the parents to know and understand what they're doing so that they'll encourage them. And when I asked the parents to have a go, what I noticed was, so not everyone, but the dads kind of just went for it, really, in general. And whereas some of the mums just looked very apprehensive about doing some coding with their kids. And it just made me think, why don't I target a course specifically at mums? Because if we get the mums on board, we'll get the kids on board, we'll get everyone on board. And we'll also create sort of women champions of tech as well, who go out there and sort of champion tech to other people around them, so to their communities. I also found out around that time that the main positive influencing factors on kids doing well at age 11 in literacy and numeracy, the main positive influencing factors are their mum's education and their home environment. So that kind of made me think, okay, if I can put a program together to teach mums tech skills and kind of empower them with tech, it's going to have a massive impact on their families as well and their children. So I put together a program. We started running it in Bishop Challoner School in Tower Hamlets back in 2013, so 7 years ago now. Tech Mums is still going strong now. Throughout my career, because I've done loads of stuff around women in tech, I've had lots of conversations with people working in tech companies and companies trying to recruit tech staff, saying that they, you know, they want to recruit women, they want to recruit kind of from a diverse group of people, but not enough diverse groups of people apply. What can they do about it? And I kind of feel like they want me to say, just do this one thing and it will solve all your problems, which of course isn't the case. So I've kind of had that going around in my head for a while, like, what could I do about that? And also, I've met so many talented women across the years who either are working in tech and want to be a bit more technical, or not working in tech, but really want to work in tech, but don't know how to get into it. And so just after I started at Durham, an opportunity came up to apply for some funding from the Institute of Coding to put together some sort of retraining something. And so I thought, well, why don't I try and connect A to B? So try and solve this problem for industry and try and create a pathway so that women with potential who love technology can work in technology. And so we applied for some funding and we got $1 million with match funding, put together a program which brought together Durham, three other universities, 15 industry partners and two organizations, Colour in Tech and BAME Recruitment, who supported us too. And we worked together to create a program which took anyone with a degree through a program which would train them into specific job roles that those companies wanted. The top four roles that the companies came up with were software developer, agile project manager, data scientist, and business analyst. And so we created a program that took you from like computer science basics through to a particular stream and qualification in one of those job roles. And so it's just been incredible. There's just so many incredible women, so many women with so much talent. I want to mention all 100 of them, but obviously I can't here.
And they are incredible. I mean, obviously, I follow the Twitter account and you can see when they all graduated and just the love they have for each other and that community and obviously, Sue, for you as well. So as part of that, I mean, I've watched you over the years. We've known each other, oh, God, a good 15 years. Yeah. You know, get your OBE, become a doctor, become a professor. You know, the list just kind of goes on. So you joined Durham recently and that was kind of the professor title that we now have. Yeah. What do you actually do at Durham?
Quite a bit of my time has been taken up with Tech Up Women, with kind of bringing together partners, organising it. I'm also teaching. I teach first years on the computational thinking module and setting up a research centre looking at bias in AI. So I've got a PhD student, Sarah, who's working on that, looking for more PhD students if anyone's interested, particularly if you've got your own funding.
Fantastic. So Sue, we mentioned earlier on about, you know, women only being 17%. For the women in tech that are listening to you, obviously, you know, iconic, your career, as I say, didn't necessarily start the easiest of way, but you've kind of grabbed every single opportunity. Yeah. And the beauty of that is that you've opened up so many other doors of opportunities for others as you've climbed.
Yeah.
What advice would you give for women that are working in tech at the moment? Perhaps they're in their roles, you know, they're trying to get themselves noticed. They're trying to reach for those opportunities. Perhaps they don't feel that comfortable to do so. What advice would you give to them?
I think, well, several things really. I think find some mentors, not just one mentor. Find mentors that are like senior to you within your organisation, if you're in an organisation, and also external to that organisation. Find women that are, doesn't have to be women. Find people. Quite a lot of my mentors are men. You basically want a mix of mentors who can give you different types of advice on different types of problems, because you're going to get loads of issues come up. Just, you know, you do in life, right? And you just do in your career. And also to, I think, always go for opportunities. You know, I feel like gradually over my life, I've learned that I've never regretted going for any opportunity. You know, even like, coming from being an extremely shy person, I've started putting myself forward and it's only really paid off over the years. And yes, I've had some idiots that I've had to deal with over the years. But, you know, when that happens, you know, you chat to your friends about it and just think, well, it's their loss. Whatever was going on there, it's their loss that they didn't want to interact with me in a meaningful way. And also that kind of network of friends is really, really important. So that's one of the things that we really wanted to create with Tech Up Women was to really encourage everyone to get to know each other, to bond with each other and to kind of form a support network and in smaller support networks within the 100, because it's hard to be friends with 100 people, for everyone to support each other kind of through their journey, because we can only do so much as a team, you know, to kind of get everything going and help everyone along the way. Those connections that you make with like-minded people around you that will support you when things go wrong, because things always go wrong. You know, like life is not like loads of opportunities come up, you go for them all and everything works out. Well, that's not been my life anyway. You know, it's completely a roller coaster, right? And lots of people that you see that are successful, you just see the kind of glossy, you know, the glossy side of how everything is. You don't see, you know, them sitting in the corner crying for several days because something didn't work out or someone was really shitty to, or someone screwed them over, or you don't see that bit, right? But that is people that are successful, that has happened to them. Keep going through the difficult times and then you get back out to the good times again.
So, I mean, what I heard there was the importance of kind of having mentors, multiple mentors, you know, growing that network, having support. And I think there was an aspect of resilience in there. So, you know, resilience and tenacity. Now, a really important question, because I think, you know, even reflecting on my own career, you can push yourself or you can try and put yourselves in the right room, but the companies have a lot to answer for. And this was one of our questions, but it's come up on the chat group as well.
Yeah.
What can the companies do? Because I think they could be a lot more active in, you know, in terms of looking for this talent, supporting the talent and sponsoring of the talent. What do you think companies can do?
Absolutely. Well, I think they, you know, like companies need to look at their culture and they need to make sure that there's someone at the highest level who's championing diversity of all sorts. Because the thing is, you know, we need to make sure that companies are inclusive places to work. And there's a lot of work to be done in probably every company and every organization. And if you don't have someone at the highest level championing anything, really, it's not going to happen. So you need someone at the highest level really championing stuff, and then bring in people that, you know, that know what they're doing, that can help you. If there are problems that you can't solve, find experts and bring them in and get them to help you to do that. So if you want to sort out your culture, first of all, find people that can do that with you. You kind of need it from a top down, but you also need it from a bottom up aspect as well. So you need to create that environment where everyone feels included, that they're opinion is valued, and then ask people, you know, like once you've got that culture going as part of that, ask people what could be done within the organization, because people working in the organization will have ideas about what to do because they know the organization better than anyone else from the outside. So I think creating an environment where people can say what they think without being judged or challenged on it, I think is good too. That is the first kind of step really for organizations. And I think probably almost every organization is not at that place yet. So that's a really good place to start.
But I also think there's something about companies being brave enough to look at their data, you know. So if they can see that they've got certain amount of women coming in at an entry level and then they're disappearing at the middle and they're virtually non-existent at the top, there's something going on there. So it doesn't take a rocket scientist to work out that there's an issue. And I think a lot of these companies, you know, try to perhaps solve these problems in their ivory towers without getting in and actually talking to the people whose lived experience it is to be a woman in tech. So if there's any companies watching, you know, go and have a look at your data, see what your entry level is, see why, what, ask the questions, why are these women not getting promoted? Why are they not getting the exposure that they need?
Don't be scared to go directly to people and just say, what's your life like within this organisation? And then take that on board and work to do something about it.
On that thing around mentors as well, have you got a mentor, Sue?
I've got several mentors. So my first, I guess, proper mentor was Wendy Hall, who, you know, before I got into computing was a pioneer for women in tech. So back in the 80s, she gave a talk in, I don't know when, but probably 20 something years ago. Yeah, must have been more than that, that I went to. And I was just like, oh, my God, I love this woman. She was so kind of like girl power and she was so kind of ballsy. And I just thought, yeah, I want to be you, basically. And so at the end of her talk, I went up to her and said, you know, like, you're amazing, blah, blah, blah. Would you be my mentor? And she said, oh, I'd love to, but I really don't have the time. I'm so sorry. And I said, can I just have 1 hour a year, please, please? And she went, all right, then. It's been incredible. And that, you know, so kind of putting myself out there, because that's quite like, when she said no, it's quite embarrassing to ask her again. But I just thought, I've got to have her as my mentor. Yeah, so she agreed to that. And so we kind of met up for lunch once a year. Which, you know, just even an hour, it's probably 2 hours. It just was so helpful to me in my career to talk to someone who's kind of like 10 years or 15 years ahead of me in, you know, in her career in terms of seniority. And just to get to know her. And, you know, now we're friends and have been friends for quite some time. Yeah, I mean, I've got lots of mentors. You know, when I'm kind of stuck and I don't quite know what to do about something, having a mentor, who particularly who knows you and has known you for some time and knows what you're like and your situation, who can then come in and just kind of chat you through issues and help you to make up your mind about what to do and also champion you and kind of big you up when you need it. People like that are absolutely invaluable and been invaluable to me in my career.
And I think when you do reach that point, when you know you've got a bit of influence or when you know that you can make things happen, it is really important for us all that we hand that, we kind of hand that over and we start to pull up others as we climb. So
absolutely. And you're never too kind of like low in the food chain. You know, like if you're an A-level student, you can help a GCSE student. You know, like there's always someone that you can help. If you're in an organisation or a situation where things are going terribly wrong, if you're in a big organisation, I get so many women contacting me who are just kind of stuck basically because they're basically in quite a toxic environment. So actually that could be at home or that could be at work, but kind of talking about the workplace, I think if you're in that sort of environment, don't stay in it too long, because I've seen too many women who think, and I've tried to do it myself, so I know from my own experience, who think they can completely change an organisation or even like a team around them. But the thing is, unless you're in charge of that team or in charge of that organisation, it's very, very hard to change it. It's very bad for your mental health, I think. So I think if you're in a toxic situation at work, a bullying situation, anything like that, and you can just get out of it, then I would just take steps to get out of it rather than staying in. I think as women, we're brought up to kind of like solve everyone's problems, make sure everyone's okay. And the thing is, a lot of the time within organisations, you just can't. You're not in a position to be able to do that. But you're kind of, we've been trained that that's what we're supposed to do. But actually, I think at some point, you just have to cut your losses and just move somewhere else. Find an environment that's much better for your mental health.
How do you shout for someone that isn't shouting necessarily for themselves?
Yeah, so I mean, first of all, you chat to them about where they are and what they're doing. And you do whatever you can to build up their confidence. And then you go to people and you say, look, this person's getting overlooked. You know, I mean, just I think like you would if you were, I don't know, a parent or something, you know, like you kind of look after that person and then you make sure that their voice is being heard at a higher level and don't take no for an answer, I think. And the thing is, the more people that start doing that, the more it'll affect change.
Yeah. I think also that, you know, there is a thing about advocating for others and we can all do that. You know, yeah. I've been in rooms where I know an opportunity would suit someone and I'd throw their name in the hat. Yeah. And then I'd replay all the fantastic things they've done. I've left their story in that room. We all have the ability to replay other stories and their achievements and leave them in rooms that they're not in. Fantastic, Sue. You know you're my role model. I cannot thank you enough for being my guest on this episode of She Talks Tech. And I thank you to all of you for listening. You know how much we appreciate it. I hope you found that session as inspiring as I did. If you want to find out more about the incredible Sue, you can find her on Twitter under @ProfSueBlack, or you can find her on LinkedIn. Whilst I'm on, we'd really appreciate it if you'd subscribe, rate the podcast and give it that all 5-star rating. Keep listening every Wednesday morning for a new episode of She Talks Tech from We Are Tech Women.